Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Bears. My name is Joey Christopoulos, my co-host, former Bears defensive end Corey Wooten. But first, today, we got to talk about our sponsor. Who else? It's betonline.ag. Look, it's back. It's better than ever. It's got a brand new web interface for the rest of the NBA season. It's got more props, odds, and lines than ever before because BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. So what are you waiting for? Get on your desktop or go on your mobile device right now to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit only when you use promo code BELIEVE50. BLEAV 50 to receive that bonus. Basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC. BetOnline's got you covered, so don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season as we head into 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming to the pod. Hope you had a wonderful holiday, but now we are back to action here on Believe in Bears because it is week 13. The Bears are going to be hosting the Arizona Cardinals, and I think it's safe to say a complete must-win situation for our beloved Chicago Bears. First, let's bring in my co-host, former Bears defensive end, Fox 32 Chicago's, Corey Wu. Corey, welcome back from Jersey. How are you, man?
You know, I'm doing good, man. I had so many bagels, had so much pizza, you know, but the one good thing is usually when I have a trip to New Jersey, whether that's the summer around Thanksgiving, Christmas time, it's usually I gain about 5 to 7 pounds. And this time I stayed the same weight, you know, and the main difference for me was, man, cutting out meat. And you're not going to believe it, but this Thanksgiving, I didn't have any turkey, didn't have any ham, didn't have any short rib. I actually kept fish options, shrimp, you know, the sides, macaroni and cheese. So I've been going 2 months strong without any red meat or chicken, turkey, just straight fish, pescatarian. I'm pesky in here.
He's fishing. I'm proud of you. Good job. The Chicago Bears were able to also feast on some golf turkey last Thursday to pick up a 16-14 win. You know, I don't think we're going to really get into too deep into that one, Corey, because we have to look forward now. We're at this point in the season where if you're watching football all around on the weekend, the Bears still in the hunt. I'm not making this up. They're still in the graphic when you put it up there. So let's try and figure out a way that the Bears can get a victory over the Cardinals this week. You've had some home cooking. The Bears are going to get some home cooking this weekend. We got to figure it out. Let's first talk about, we're taping this on a Wednesday night right now. The Wednesday practice schedule, injury report, not looking good, Corey. Did not practice Wednesday. Marquise Goodwin, Allen Robinson, Cole Kmet with a groin. Damian Williams, Akeem Hicks, Roquan Smith all did not practice. Justin Fields was out there and limited. There were some reports that he was out there throwing the football a little bit, and then he looked pretty decent right now. Let's just start with all the injuries heading into this weekend, and then also I want to get your take on Justin Fields, banged up right now, but back in practice. Where are you feeling right now? Would you lean towards starting Justin Fields or Andy Dalton this week against the Cardinals?
You know, I just think it depends how healthy he is and how confident he feels. I think that's the biggest thing right now, because we're in a crazy situation with the season. Things haven't gone the way we wanted to. Justin Fields has been up and down. You got the Cardinals coming into town at 9-2, one of the best teams in the NFL right now. They have some talented pass rushers coming our way. So it's a tricky situation. You know, I think, you know, I really want to see him out there, but only if he's 100% and he's in the right mindset. Because, you know, I think I would be leaning a little bit more towards Andy Dalton just because of how quick he gets the ball out in a situation like this if Justin Fields is not 100%. But I would love to see the young fella out there and, you know, be in a situation where he can gain some confidence out there and they could script him for success. But that's my only concern, because it seems like certain games, yes, they've scripted for success. Other games, they left them out there on an island. And, you know, people go back and forth all the time and say, well, Andy Dalton's a better quarterback. No, hold up. He's not a better quarterback. He's more confident. He knows how to take command of an offense. He understands things better. He's been in the league. I think this is his 13th year, 12th year in the league, somewhere around there. So he's been around. He's been a starter. So he understands that his bread and butter is getting the ball out quick, making good decisions, being a game manager. That's what has gotten him a long career, and that's why he was a starter. The thing is, Justin Fields can do some incredible things with his feet, throwing the football, but the only thing at times, they don't script for success for him. And as a young quarterback, you need that. So I think it just depends on his health, and I'm hoping he can go. But at the same time, I think Andy Dalton could be a good thing going against the Cardinals with their talented pass rush, getting the ball out quick, making good decisions.
Well, Corey, I think it's safe to say that there's a 0% chance that Justin Fields is 100%, right?
Yeah.
I mean, with broken ribs, I've had broken ribs before. I'm not a professional athlete. They suck, right? Even when you laugh or sneeze or giggle, or I mean, it hurts. You feel it, absolutely. And in terms of Andy Dalton, I'm right there with you, where I think we've seen a lot of things about him that are really capable and really positive and you know, net positive, I think, for the Chicago Bears. But forgive my sarcasm. Andy Dalton's going to get you 13 and 16 points, right? That's what he's shown you so far. We just played a Detroit Lions team. He passed for 317. I'm kind of confused why Bears fans are so obsessed with the 317 and not the fact that we only put 16 points on the board, because it's just kind of the same stuff that we're seeing over again. Can you talk about a little bit? Have you ever had a broken ribs injury before? Of course, Justin Fields can't get hit, right? If he gets hit, that's not good. We can't have that happen. But is it? What kind of restrictions do you think could possibly be out there for him that we need to safeguard, and maybe the reason why he doesn't play this week?
Yeah, I think in a situation like this, I've never had broken ribs, but I've had teammates that play with it, and it's a tough thing, especially as a quarterback, where you know at times you're exposed out there. And he's a young guy. Look at where we are in the season. You know, I know there's a potential way for us to get in the playoffs. It doesn't seem likely, but I think you have to look at decision making. I think you have to look at the bigger picture of things, right? And not hurting this guy's ego at this point in time, his confidence. You know, I think, you know, if he gets in a situation where he's in the game and then all of a sudden, you know, Chandler Jones and Marcus Golden are really having great rushes and they're coming and there's tattooing on them in the ribs, you want to avoid that type of situation. So I think in this situation, him probably not being 100%, I think you got to sit him out until he is 100%, because at this point in the season, I don't think you have anything to gain, in my opinion, because I think you, myself, most Bears fans really know the playoffs are not likely unless there is a Christmas miracle, unless there's a run that we don't see happen. So I think you have to have him 100% for him to come back and play, right? And then it becomes getting him confident for the next season, having him become more comfortable in his reads and his progressions, you know, tucking the ball and going, things of that nature. So I'm just very cautious at this point, just where the season is and about his development and keeping his psyche in a good place.
And you've talked about it a lot this season, putting him in a position to succeed. And this might be one of those scenarios, not because of matchup, but because of health. And all it takes is a bull rush past Jason Peters and he takes one in the back again, and then, you know, we're maybe in a worse place where he doesn't get a chance to develop later in the season. You want to get him as many snaps on the field as you possibly can. And Corey, to be very fair, full disclosure here on Believe in Bears, we believe in Santa Claus. Christmas miracles, though, are a little bit more of a touch and go here and there. You know, also to your point, I kind of pulled up some stats. You know, let's get to this Arizona Cardinals team. Let's talk about the keys to what it's going to take for the Bears to win, because, you know, I was diving into the numbers. I watched them a lot, but I'm trying to, I went over to my wife. I picked up my computer. She walked out of the room. She's like, where are you going? Are you going to get ready for prep for Bears? And I'm like, I'm going to go find them a weakness. And you know what, man? This is a balanced football team. They do not have too many holes, my friend. And I pulled it up. They've played three rookie quarterbacks this year. Trevor Lawrence, he passed for 219, one touchdown, two interceptions. Trey Lance, look, raw, but 192, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 89 rushing yards. And Davis Mills, 135, 0-0 as well. Pocket passers, guys like Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo, have actually had some decent success against the Arizona Cardinals this year. Not going to blow your hair out, the window, but, you know, something that maybe Andy Dalton can get on top of. And look, the weather right now, I'm not getting on this weather train, because I remember I made that mistake with Stacey Dales in terms of the rain. It says it's going to rain on Sunday. It might snow on Tuesday. Who knows? Whatever. It's going to be cold, right? It's going to be 48 degrees or below for Arizona. You know, when you're looking at this team with Arizona, are you with me right now? I mean, the record aside, I mean, this is a pretty balanced football team that might be getting back not only Kyler Murray, but also DeAndre Hopkins this week.
Yeah, I mean, this really scares me, to be honest, because you look at their weapons. You know, look at wide receiver, A.J. Green, Hopkins, Christian Kirk, Zach Ertz, Rondell Moore.
I love Rondell Moore.
I mean, I followed him when I worked for the Big Ten Network, and an absolute beast. There's nothing he couldn't do.
Yeah, there are defenders. Defenders are afraid of that dude, and he's not biggest guy in the world. I saw him his tape, and I was like, I want this guy on my team. I love Ronald.
Yeah, he's like 5'9". I think he's probably about 5'7", to be honest with you, but probably 190 pounds, solid.
Shoulders like steel, baby.
Yeah, and he's quick as can be. So he's really underrated, you know, as a kick returner as well. I mean, just look at those weapons. And DeAndre Hopkins has 7 touchdowns. Zach Ertz has only been there for 5 games, has 3 touchdowns. So, you know, this really scares me. And then you look at, you know, the running back, James Conner, 12 touchdowns this year. Unbelievable. Yep. In the red zone. So you talk about all the pieces together to have a good football team, right? A great tight end, 3 really good receivers, 4, you know, including Kirk as well. A great running game, you know, especially in the red zone, making good decisions. Kyler Murray, his dual threat ability. Cliff Kingsbury with his offensive play calling. Defensively, you look at Marcus Golden's got 10 sacks this year. Chandler Jones has 8. I mean, talented combo right there. So yeah. this game really concerns me. At first, I really wasn't as worried because I'm like, oh, Soldier Field, you know, the weather's probably going to be a factor for Arizona coming from a warm weather place. But it just seems like they're one of the most consistent football teams in the league, right? They had a bad game against Carolina. But it really scares me because I think they maybe took Carolina a little lightly. You know, I think they kind of expected to whoop up on, oh, we have a backup quarterback in Philip Walker and all this. And Carolina came out and played old school smash mouth football, right? It wasn't pretty. The stats weren't woo you and why you. And I think this is what the Bears can do if they want to win this game. You know, especially I think if Andy Dalton is playing this week, which I think he will, you know, run the football, him make good decisions, you know, really target the tight ends. Hopefully Cole Kmet can be in there. But I think this is a game, you know, especially with Andy Dalton, I think it plays favorably for him. You know, a very good decision-making game, not turning the ball over, getting the ball out quick, keeping those rushers at bay, keeping Kyler Murray and company off the field. So, yeah, I really like what this matchup is coming to, especially with Andy Dalton this week, it looks like.
Yeah, let me follow up on that real quick because we haven't gotten the sample size with Andy Dalton isn't exactly large enough to make any part, like, you know, distinctions about how we run our offense with him in there. Yeah. But obviously 39 pass attempts against the Detroit Lions, they kind of sort of didn't really allow David Montgomery to get into a rhythm against the Lions. Yep. And if you go back to that Rams game as well, I don't really remember that running game. That game wasn't what ended up happening with Justin Fields for those 2 months when we really got it going. What do you think that is a little bit? You know, are we going to be able to have that kind of balance? Are we going to be able to trust that? Or do you think with Andy Dalton in there that Matt Nagy and this offensive play calling staff is going to lean towards Andy making decisions with the football in his hands?
Yeah, I think that's what it's leaning towards. It seems like Matt Nagy and company feel comfortable with him passing the ball. And, you know, I think he makes good decisions.
With Foles. Foles last year, too, was like, Trubisky, yeah, we got to do a 50-50.
Yeah.
We played well, but with Foles, it's just shotgun and let's go and spread it out.
Exactly. I'm more in the favor, whether it's Andy Dalton or Justin Fields, of being 60-40 run dominant. You know, I think that's the recipe for success. I think, you know, with the O-line the way it is and, you know, mixing in that play action, I think the running game and the weapons you have with David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert, and the fact that Khalil Herbert doesn't get touches at all is a disservice. And David Montgomery only having 12 to 13 carries, that shouldn't happen in games. You know, when you have 2 really talented backs that teams would kill for, you know, it's you're doing a disservice to any quarterback that's in there because you're not establishing the run. And this Bears offensive line, they are very good run blockers. They've showcased that that's their biggest strength. So why not play into that? And I think sometimes, you know, because Matt Nagy and Lazor feel very comfortable with Andy Dalton on his decision-making, they just want to sling that thing. And I'm not talking about deep balls, but they really wanted to pass the ball. And I'm like, I get that, right? There's a time and a place. And it starts with setting up the run. And you talk about, you know, that's my first key is really getting the run game going with David Montgomery and company because they're too talented not to run the football. And Arizona coming into town, they have a great offense, Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, all the weapons offensively. You keep them off the field. How do you do that? Controlling the clock with the run game, right? Cold weather football, it could be, you know, rainy, it could be muddy. You already know the Soldier Field conditions. Everybody hates coming into town, especially Arizona. You know, they're used to the warm weather, great surface out there. Everything is perfect at this time of the year, right? But you're coming into our house. And what do? You have two talented pass rushers. How do you keep them at bay? With the run game, right? Some screens, some draws, things like that. I really want to see some more draws this week. You know, maybe some Wildcats sprinkled in, you know, David Montgomery and company. But you got to get the run game going, whoever's out there at quarterback, because it sets up everything. And you got to play in the strengths. I'm tired of seeing a game where we know we can run the ball. We know we can get 3 to 4 to 5 yards a pop, and we're not doing it, right? Because trying to get too cute or fancy. In this league, you know, cold weather football, smash mouth football, that wins games. You know, you look at Tennessee when, you know, Derrick Henry's in there. I mean, he gets it done, right? And sometimes it's not pretty, and Tannehill looks okay, but running the football really controls the clock. It keeps the other team off balance. It gets them tired. It keeps the other offense off the field, and it wears you down when you know they're going to run the ball and you can't stop it.
And I've learned a lot about, you know, you keep harping on this over and over again, and I feel like maybe there are some fans out there that are like, you know what, this is the modern NFL where we're all vertical and we're passing and passing and passing. And man, it's really starting to become a clarity to me that it really starts first with run and run action, right? Yep. Because the way that you've described is that if you're constantly worried about your run fits, if you run that play action, then stuff gets all out of whack. And you mentioned cold weather football. Look at what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been doing the last 2 or 3 weeks, specifically with Leonard Fournette last week. It's all been run and run action. And then Tom's just picking his spots when he gets those moments to get in that play action situation to throw it and pick teams apart. You know, this is just what leads to winning football right now. And if you look, maybe the only thing, one of the few things that, you know, the Arizona Cardinals are mediocre at, or maybe in the middle, is their rushing defense. They are allowing 113 rushing yards to opponents this season, 17th in the NFL. Now, to be very fair, the Bears and the Cardinals the last 3 weeks have been top 10 run defenses. But this is the way to go, right? Because, again, time of possession. Don't keep it in Kyler Murray's hands for too long. We have to figure out different ways. Like, my final stat on this one that I wanted to bring up was the Arizona Cardinals are leading the NFL in first quarter points with 6.6. They're seventh in the NFL in second quarter points, 8.5. They're first in the NFL at 8.1 in the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, they don't score that much, probably because they have a point differential of over 10 at this point. This should terrify you if you're a Bears fan, and I think running the ball is probably the easiest way to mitigate that, to give ourselves a chance, drive that score down a little bit, and hopefully maybe, you know, allow us to make some plays later in the game.
No, I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm looking at the stats right now from the Carolina-Arizona game, and Christian McCaffrey, right, look at his stat line. So he had 13 rushes for 95 yards, right, 7.3 a pop.
Yep.
And then he had 10 catches for 66 yards, averaging almost 7 yards a catch. Sure. So that's a matchup right there. They seem like they struggle against defending the running back, and, you know, I think if we can get that going, David Montgomery can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. Don't sleep on that. He has really good hands. He's shifty. He can run you over. He can do everything, and I think people really sleep on him. You know, they see him, they're like, oh, yeah, he's a good running back. He's this. And, you know, he reminds me a lot of a guy like Fred Taylor. You know, like, the thing is, Fred Taylor was so under the radar. In my opinion, he should be a Hall of Famer. But the fact that he just put his head down, he went to work every day, and he continued to put up numbers, but he wasn't like this crazy personality and let everybody know.
Build a market to Jaguars, yeah. You know, like.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's how David Montgomery is. He's a lunch pail guy. You know, he doesn't need anybody to acknowledge him. He doesn't need this. He's not a huge personality, but, you know, he could be a guy that's a 1,400 to 1,600 yards per season guy. And I think they just need to give him the rock. And I think, you know, in this game, if they want to have a chance to win, I think it starts with David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert.
These are great calls. Before we get to your next key, I want to ask you something about maybe it's one of my keys for this game, and hopefully the Bears can pick up a win in week 13. We're talking about the running back position. You know, Arizona, they've only allowed 4 touchdowns to running backs all season long. Mm-hmm. And I started kind of noticing this, and I probably have noticed it for a long time, but it's really starting to hit me. Can you explain to me, because I just watch the games, man, I really do, but can you explain to me, when we're in the red zone, what is our plan B besides throw it to a tight end? And do we have a plan B, and if not, What would be your recommendations to spring a Darnell Mooney open? Because it always feels like we're either doing, you know, we're doing these little rub outs to a tight end. We're doing these toss up fades. It just seems like the targets are only going there. I think red zone is going to be a huge issue to speak to as well. So what's your take on that right now?
You know, I think when we get in the red zone, we do too much gun, in my opinion. I think we need to be more in the center. I think we need more two tight ends. And I think that's going to set everything. I think it's going to set up the run game. And I think we could run some play action looks off that, you know, where you get a guy like Justin Fields or Andy Dalton on the move a little bit. And it kind of frees up. It really puts pressure on that linebacker or safety that's on that tight end, because then they have to cover the drag coming across, or the closest tight end is going to have an out route, right? And then you have Mooney or Robinson, whoever's out there running routes as well. So I think we need to get more into pro style sets in the red zone. You know, I really want that. And, you know, I think Jimmy Graham, I mean, he's shown that he's probably one of our best red zone threats. And you look at his production in limited catches, what he can do. Yeah. So that's why I'm hoping they can get that going. You know, I think Cole Kmet, it's looking iffy for him for this game. But if he's not able to go, hey, in the red zone, Jimmy Graham isn't going to be able to run like he did 7-8 years ago, right? That's fine.
Box out, though.
Exactly. He can get open, right? That's the thing. You know, he's a big body. He runs good routes. He has good hands when you need him to. Target him. I don't understand why it's such a thing in the red zone that sometimes, you know, like what was that San Francisco game, you know, we had 3rd and 5 and then we do a toss play to the side on 3rd and 5.
Yeah,
a toss play. That if you're going to run the ball, have two tight ends in there, have a fullback, have an H back, and let's play smash mouth football. Let's not, you know, do the traditional Matt Nagy 3rd and short. Hey, let's try to swing it to Cordell Patterson when they had him or something like that. That doesn't make sense, right? In a 3rd and 5 situation in that San Francisco game that I'm referring to, this was off Justin Fields had 2 consecutive completions. They were mixing and matching the run and pass. And then you have a situation 3rd and 5 where you can give him the reins to throw the ball in the red zone to get confidence up, possibly get a first down or a touchdown, and you do that play. That's what baffles me.
Yeah, that's a great perspective, because just from my vantage point, I feel like when we're in the red zone, it is either we are focusing on a play that gets the ball to the tight end, or we're doing something option B, which is something stupid, which you just which is like a toss. You know,
I like tight end, though.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I also understand that, you know, Darnell Mooney probably in those tight spaces like that isn't maybe necessarily a guy that you can scheme up when it is, you know, 1st and goal, 2nd and goal, or something like that. Yeah. I'm just kind of curious if there is a version of variety that we can maybe try and deploy that doesn't always make us feel like we're, you know, everyone kind of knows what's coming, because I feel like I know what's coming.
You know, I feel like the Bears offense right now is when you go to someone's house that you really care about and they cook the food and it tastes like garbage and it's very bland, you know? Yeah, and you're like, they're like, how is it?
5 toss.
You're like, it's good. Let me put some more salt on it. You got ketchup too? You know, I need ketchup on this steak, you know, because
I'm so full. I'm so full. I couldn't have another bite.
Yeah, but
but you haven't touched it. I'm okay.
But it's very bland right now. And, you know, I think everything, they're just being very cautious about everything. And they're not, I understand, you know, sometimes certain thought processes, but to me, you know, I don't understand when you have a guy like Andy Dalton throwing the ball almost 40 times and a guy like David Montgomery touching the ball 12 times in a game. That just baffles me. And you talk about wanting to win games and be competitive out there. And this was a close game last week against the Lions. This is one that could have went either way, to be honest. You know, luckily, Andy Dalton and the offense had a great 8-minute drive.
And
right,
and Detroit's coaches loves them timeouts.
Exactly,
they spent timeouts like someone in line for turkey. They went back for more.
yeah. But you know, in the situation, I just don't understand the thought process. Like, you know, most teams out there, okay, like, hey, let's establish the running game. Let's get that going, regardless of, you know, who you have. You know, there's some teams, you know, Green Bay, it kind of depends on the week. You know, Aaron Rodgers is one of those rare examples where, hey, he'll just fire away. That's Aaron Rodgers, right? Not everybody's like that. You know, he's in the small percentage. But even like you said, Tampa Bay, who has the GOAT at quarterback, Tom Brady, what are they doing? Getting Leonard Fournette involved. And early on, they didn't get him involved as much. They were still winning games.
No, Ronald Jones is scoring touchdowns now, man.
Exactly.
They're playing a different style.
They are. And I think they realized that Bruce Arians, Tom Brady realized that, hey, if we're going to do this again and we're going to make a run at the playoffs and winning another Super Bowl, we're going to have to get that running game going. That's how you wear down teams.
Yeah.
You know, when they don't know what you're doing, you can't stop the run. Okay. Then all of a sudden I'm going to pop back and play action, you know, to Mike Evans. I'm going to go to Antonio Brown or Gronk. You know, that's what that running game does. It really keeps you off balance and people sleep on that all the time. It's a pitcher in baseball, right? Throwing your fastball. And then all of a sudden you give them that changeup, right? And then they don't know what you're doing because it's the same look every time. And then they don't know, they're all out of whack. And it's demoralizing as a defense when you cannot stop the run, because they can do whatever they want with you, you know?
Yeah.
And I always say back, you remember you asked playing against a backup before, you know, Colin Kaepernick, his first game was against us. And I mean, I've never been so off balance in a football game than the San Francisco 49ers made our whole team. It was like, we could not do anything. Like confidence, everything is out the window. Even we were playing so well that year as a team in 2012, but everything just got us off balance and we could not stop the run. We couldn't stop the pass. Vernon Davis went off on us. Frank Gore, Colin Kaepernick. Literally, we could not do anything. And we're just looking at each other on the sideline like, we don't have it today. You know, like you just know. You just know when a team has you and they're like, we're going to run the football and there's nothing you can do about it. And we're just like, we can't. So it's just really demoralizing, and I think that's how our offense needs to be, you know, is really get that run game established, because they've shown even the games where the offense, the yards for total passing or this, that, and the other, when they got Khalil Herbert going, when David Montgomery was out, and even David Montgomery before he got injured, it really takes the pressure off the quarterback, right? And I think people just fail to realize that. It bothers me so much when I see the game and I just know pass play. Okay, where's the run? You know, I want to see first and 10. I want to see a run play, maybe on a sudden change. If we get a pick or a big play, taking a shot, I'm fine with that. Right. Change of possession. But I think it's a situation where we just need to be run heavy and keep that moving.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think Khalil Herbert, I'm still on it. I think he's one of the few home run hitters that we have on our team right now, and we're a team that's starving for points, so I don't understand why we don't even try and give him opportunities. And maybe my final button on the whole red zone thing is just keep in mind, Bears fans, that, you know, in the two games that Andy Dalton has started, not the ones that he's come in and subbed for and the, you know, the half games or whatever, the two games that he started, two interceptions in the red zone. So, again, you know what I mean? Like, we want to give the veteran all this credit, and he knows Andy, you know, he knows Nagy's offense and all this other stuff. We want to give him his flowers, but at the same time, we have to keep in mind that he has to protect the ball in that red zone. Let's take a quick break to talk about our brand new sponsor, Lightbox. I got news for everybody. Say goodbye to dull gifts. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the brightest gift of the year. Listing cutting-edge technology and innovative techniques, they've cracked the science of sparkle, creating the highest quality lab-grown diamonds you can find at a very light price. Only $800 per carat. They have the same chemical makeup of natural diamonds, but are just grown in a lab. Because of their process, they can create stones in plush pink and beautiful blue, as well as classic white. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the gift they'll never want to take off price, so they won't have to. They really do make any outfit sparkle. So visit lightboxjewelry.com right now to add sparkle to your holiday shopping. That's lightboxjewelry.com. Lightbox diamonds, never a dull moment. Now back to the pod. Corey, what is your next key to hopefully a Bears win, and, you know, just keep us on that life support for one more week against the Cardinals in week 13?
Yeah, so this matchup between Kyler Murray, if he's available to go, it seems like he's leaning towards playing this week, yeah, right? And I guess Travis Gibson, you know, he's in my opinion, really underrated. You know, what he's been able to do, even when Khalil Mack was playing, he's a valuable member of the rotation. Now he's a starter at that left end. And you talk about where Kyler Murray likes to step up, likes to scramble to the defense's left side, Kyler Murray's right side. And Travis Gibson is going to be that left end. So I need him to contain, have one of his best games. And this is not about him winning every rush, you know, trying to get three sacks himself, because if he's patient, if he rushes the passer, kind of like Rod Marinelli used to teach us, right, against a guy like Aaron Rodgers or a mobile quarterback like Russell Wilson, You set the edge on the left side, right? Because that quarterback, his eyes initially go to that right side, right? And he's going to want to scramble that way. So if you can set that edge, really keep the contain, and then if he steps up, be able to counter rush, counter back at the level of the quarterback, come back, he will have 2 to 3 sacks in this game if he can do that, right? Because Robert Quinn on the other side, he's able to win. And he wins a lot.
Love that tweet, buddy. I love that tweet.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And he's back, man.
You're so right, man.
Yeah. So if Travis Gibson can set the edge on the left side, right? And I'm not talking about, he doesn't have to have crazy rushes where he's winning every time and he's winning clean. If he just rushes smart, he will have 2 to 3 sacks in this game. And it'll be because Robert Quinn is burning rubber around the corner, forcing him right to him. And those are the gimme sacks where, hey, Travis Gibson gets the sack, but that was because of Robert Quinn, right? And this could be a great game for Travis Gibson if he just sets that edge. So that's why I look for whenever there's a mobile quarterback, I always look, especially a right-handed quarterback, I look at that left defensive end because he really has to set that edge, right? And work together,
yeah.
Right? If the tackles, right, are making moves, the ends are making moves, cover them, right? You have to work together. We can't have any of this rush discipline where we're out of our rush lanes, right? Everybody has a rush lane. The ends, the tackles, if you're running games, you know, if the end comes first, the tackle goes around, has contained, right? And the end has inside. So everybody keep their rush discipline in the rush lanes. And I think this could be a great sack game, you know, for a guy like Travis Gibson. I think Robert Quinn can have some sacks as well. So I'm looking forward to that matchup right there.
Yeah, Cardinals, they've allowed 2.6 sacks a game their last 8 played. If we can get over that number and, dare I say, get to that 4 or 5 marker, I think that's really going to help us out a big time. And I want to just kind of follow up with you. You know, I think the front four is probably going to be the key to this defense, right? You know, winning the game, losing the game. It's probably going to all start with that front four. Can you just talk about, if you were the Arizona Cardinals, how would you attack the Chicago Bears with no Roquan Smith out there?
You know, I would run the football, you know, because the scouting report on the Bears, everybody knows this year, is they cannot stop the run, right? Roquan is the ace in the middle right there. It seems like he's going to be out, like you're saying, you know, which is unfortunate for the Bears. But, you know, I would run the football early and often. I think this is, you know, as we talked about with Tampa Bay, how they're kind of changing their game. And what we've seen in Arizona, you know, early on, they really weren't running the ball as much. And then they starting to get that running game going as they're making a push for the playoffs and to go deep. So this, if I'm Arizona, I'm starting with the running game. You know, I'm James Conner and company. I'm getting that running game going. I'm getting Kyler Murray going. You know, I'm really taking the pressure off Murray, especially when he's coming back from an injury, setting up that play action, and it starts with the run game. So I would start first and foremost, especially with Akeem Hicks looking like he's not going to be out, and you know, Roquan Smith, and Khalil Mack being out. So I'm going to attack that run game early and often.
Those some big names. some big names not suiting up, Corey. Let's get to our next key, and I think we're on the same page with this, so maybe I'll front it, yeah. Is that, you know, when you're 4-7, and, you know, I think I've brought this up before, but when you kind of get to that place, all of a sudden it kind of really turns into the turnover battle, right? And you have to win it, and you have to win it, you know, maybe at least 1 or 2 to give yourself a real chance to win. Get those field flippers, maybe an easy score, just an easy chipper field goal or something like that. Just keep the other team at bay. I'm pulling it up here. The Cardinals, they're 6-0 on the road this year. Now, look, I think it's really, really hard in the NFL to go undefeated on the road all season long. I don't even care what the other team's record is. So that gives the Bears a shot. The other one is, you're asking, how are they doing it on the road this year? This year on the road, they are leading the NFL in the least amount of turnovers. 0.3 turnovers on the road this year. They are tied for 2nd in the NFL in road takeaways at 2.5. So that kind of gives you a real indication there of how the Cardinals are 6-0 on the road right now. Just talk about how important this turnover battle is going to be. And if the Bears can win it, they might have a shot to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to be honest, the Bears have to play near perfect football offensively. And I think, you know, it doesn't mean throwing for 400 yards. It doesn't mean rushing for 300. It just means, you know, having a very balanced game, you know, running the football, you know, taking possession of the clock, working that play action, making good decisions, whoever quarterback that might be, and just limiting those turnovers. And I think the biggest thing is if you can establish that run, I think it makes like I said earlier, the quarterback's job that much easier, right? And then he's able to have progressions. He's able to have hard play action looks where it takes the pressure. And this O-line that kind of struggles at times, it gives them an opportunity, you know, to have a little bit more, pressure on there. You know, it allows them to protect longer. You have some tight ends in there that could chip help, things of that nature. But I think the running game sets that up. And, you know, the biggest thing, like you said, Andy Dalton in the red zone, at times he's made some questionable decisions, right? It seems like when he's out of the red zone, he makes very good decisions on some of his passes.
20-20, right? Isn't that the nickname? Between the 20s, he's great. But once you get on the other side of those, it's a problem.
Exactly. The red zone offense is really tough. You know, that's why it's so hard to capitalize, you know, because you're backed up. You're not able to run the same route progressions. Things happen quicker. So it seems like Andy Dalton in those red zone situations, he kind of struggles to make certain reads. I don't know if it's, you know, everything being so tight or whatnot. You know, I look at last week, the pick he threw to Devin Oruwariwa.
I think this is Devin.
Yeah. I did this when I worked for the Big Ten, and I completely butchered his last name. Devin Oruwariwa. Yes, that's it. Go. That is a hard name to get. Excuse me for butchering your name. Bill the Butcher over there butchering your name. But that one really I was disappointed in, because that's a no-brainer read where you just got to throw it over the top and it goes out of the end zone. You know, your guy gets it or it goes out of the end zone. And that was one that I thought he gave up. When you're driving, you have momentum. And then in the Rams game, week one, you know, just that was kind of just a bad throw.
Yeah, we
have momentum and things like that. Those are momentum killers. And, you know, in situations like that against two talented teams, the Rams, and, you know, now we're playing the Cardinals, you cannot afford to give up red zone picks, you know, at that.
Can I ask you a quick question? Not to go back to a topic that we already kind of covered, but I'm kind of really intrigued about what you brought up about us being in shotgun look in red zone.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, is part of that, I mean, it could be both, right? But is a part of that because if you're in shotgun and you're in close proximity, if you're a defensive player, it's kind of easy to read the eyes and the keys a little bit, whereas opposed to if they hike in, they turn around, right? And
100%,
time to make a decision, right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. I like pro-style offenses. And just from playing against pro-style offenses, I thought those were the hardest to defend. Right, because you have two tight ends usually most of the time, or you have a tight end and an H-back or a fullback.
Yeah,
and you kind of can't tell sometimes if it's a run or pass read. But when offensive linemen are in the gun, you know, when the quarterback's in the gun, the offensive linemen, especially the tackles, they usually give up whether it's pass or run. Because if it's pass, they have that right or left leg, depending on left or right tackle, back far because they need to kick set. Right. And then if it's a running play, then they're a little bit more balanced with their stance. And in out of a pro style formation, it's a lot easier to disguise that. Right. So when you talk about giving your old line more time to protect, I think the pro style is more advantageous because it disguises everything that you're saying, because they're thinking, oh, it's going to be a run here. Oh, no, it's a play action. Right. So I really like the pro style in the red zone because it gives you multiple options. And if you have a linebacker or safety that's keeping his eyes inside anticipating run, you have a step on him and then that's a touchdown all day. So that's why I enjoy the pro style offenses in red zone situations.
Yeah. It also feels you can kind of maybe manipulate zone a little bit more, maybe doing that style as well. Corey, any more keys to a Bears victory before we get to our final score here in week 13 against the Cardinals?
No, man, those are all my keys, man. You know, really get the run game going. You know, that matchup between Gibson and Murray, I'm really keying in on that, and I think you fans should as well. I think this is a game where he could really, you know, build his momentum, you know, as a player. He's continued to get better. He has two great guys to learn under, Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn. Love what he's been able to do, and he's just furthering, you know, his juice on the Bears and around the league. People are taking notice. And then, you know, like we talked about, no turnovers in this game. We have to play a pretty perfect game, in my opinion, to beat this talented Cardinals team. We have to play one of our best football games.
Yeah, and a couple of things for Bears fans just to keep an eye on. You know, we've already talked about the red zone, the Arizona Cardinals. They're the best red zone to touchdown ratio right now in the NFL. They're up in the top in a lot of different categories, right? And also on top of that is we've seen it all season long where I think it's in vogue right now in the NFL to go for it on fourth down, but specifically against this Bears defense, teams are like, we're going for it. Even if it's fourth and four, fourth and five, that's the Cardinals, they're going to do that. They're the type of team that goes for it on fourth down. And actually, there's an article that came out on ESPN today that Cliff Kingsbury is actually one of the most successful, if not the most successful, at running fourth down situations. So that's going to be really interesting to watch too as well. Corey, man, let's get to your final score. I'm really curious, man, because Cardinals score 28 points a game. They give up 18. We average about 16.5. For me, personally, the 23 number is kind of that make or break area for me. So I'm curious if the Bears have a better shot at winning the under 23 number or the over 23 number. What do you have? What do you have for final score? You
got So my final score is going to be 31-17 Arizona with the dub. So I think that's going to be under that 23 number. I just, you know, I think Andy Dalton's going to be the starter. I think it's pretty safe to say unless, you know, something happens between now and game day. And we know Andy Dalton. I mean, his stats look good at sometimes, like last game, 317 passing yards. Yeah, it looks good on paper, but he doesn't put up points. And I just think knowing this Bears team, I think we're going to not get the running game going like we all want to. And I think it's going to be, oh, Andy Dalton, hey, he throws for 260, 270. And, oh, he had a touchdown here. But I don't think it's going to put up numbers. And I think if we wanted the score that we wanted, I think it would start with the run game. But I just think the way it's going with Andy Dalton, it just seems like we do not get the running game going. So that's why I think the score is going to be 31-17.
Corey, you're speaking sense. And what I'm going to do right now, so for those of you that are coming back into Believe in Bears, thank you for tuning in. But right now I have a one-game lead on Corey right now for our in-game picks this season. And you know what? This week I'm going for the jugular, right? Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say Bears 24, Cardinals 20. One, because I want to keep this season alive and pumping. We've said it all season long coming in the pregame. You know, this game with Arizona coming into Chicago and perhaps cold weather, this can be a very winnable game. And let me sell you on how it happens. Not saying it will happen, but Kyler Murray coming back, he's had an extended absence. It's an ankle, right? So even if the ankle is close to 100%, maybe it's a little stiff in that cold weather, right? Maybe he's having a little hard time, you know, digging in on that turf at Soldier Field. And I think maybe we can capitalize on a slow start by that offense, little bumps in the road that first quarter and a half. And my hope is if that can happen, the Bears can hang in there towards the end of the half. Maybe let's just say it's a 10-7 game. We're actually kind of in it a little bit. Guess what? The game's just going to get a little bit colder. The hits are going to hurt just a little bit more. That sting is just going to keep coming. And maybe physicality-wise, we can create some sort of edge in this game, which gives us the type of advantage, if you will, to maybe hopefully pull this out and give the Cardinals their first road loss of the season. And if I get it, then I'm up 2 on you, Corey. Ooh. If I get it wrong, then we're tied. And then it's all then it's the thing that we're really watching this year, because the Bears, not in the playoffs. What you're watching is Corey versus Joey's game picks the rest of the way.
Yeah.
What say you? Am I crazy? I mean, I've built a story here that's possible. I don't know about probable.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's a little bit, a little bit outlandish, to be honest with you, because look at the weapons that are going to be out. Roquan Smith, Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack is done for the season.
Yes.
And then you talk about, you know, what Arizona does well and what they've been doing well lately is run the football. And you look at all those weapons defensively out. And everybody knows, like I said, that the Bears cannot stop the run. So you have the guy in the middle, Akeem Hicks, that is the engine that runs that. You know, Roquan is amazing at what he does, and he's a general out there. But Akeem Hicks is really what makes that defense really come together. He's the voice. He's the heartbeat. And then Khalil Mack now being out there as well. I just really worry about it, because you talk about these really good teams really fine-tuning their game, you know, as the season goes on, and December football, cold weather football, because, you know they could possibly be on the road for certain games, you know, maybe possibly have to go through Green Bay at some point, you know? So this situation, we're like, hey, you know, we need to work our running game really. And you look at Chase Edmonds, what he's been able to do as well with, you know, James Conner. Chase Edmonds is I think almost 6 yards a pop running the football. So he's really come on late. And, you know, I know Kyler Murray is coming off that ankle injury, but Hopkins looks like he's going to play this week, right? And then all the weapons on there. Zach Ertz is really getting going. He's becoming comfortable in that offense. So it really scares me with all their weapons. It really does. So
that's the thing is, if Jalen Johnson's balling out on DeAndre Hopkins, right, who's coming back from a hamstring injury, and let's just say we shut him down, AJ Green versus Artie Burns or Kendall Vildor on a 3rd and 8 scares me, right?
Christian Kirk, Rondell Moore.
I know, exactly. I know.
So that's what I'm saying. You take Hopkins out, we still got 4 other weapons that they can use. So I think, in my opinion, this is one of the scariest matchups. At first, it didn't really seem that way. Cold weather football, I felt good about, early on in the season, having Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks and Roquan Smith all in there, the way Robert Quinn was playing. But the fact that these weapons are missing defensively, I think it really scares me. And
they've been kicking ass with Colt McCoy, too. I mean, they've been blowing things out. Their point differential, I think, is like plus 108 right now.
Exactly. So I think this is a game that they're really disappointed in that Carolina loss. And they're just going to say that ain't happening again. And I think they're really going to try to show, like, hey, they're going to try to flex on the Bears and assert their dominance. And I'm just hoping that, we can run the football and just, hey, we may lose the game, but you keep it tight running the football. That's how we do it.
Yeah. I mean, Corey, as I'm getting to know you this year, you said 31-17. And dude, you're a Bears fan, and I feel like you're an optimist at heart. I really feel like maybe inside your soul, it's a 38-17 or 38-30.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice, but I really worry because you look at how Jared Goff started last week, and in my opinion, I don't think he's even close to as talented as Kyler Murray and what that offense is capable of. And I really feel like they really haven't even had their coming out party, like Arizona offensively. I think they've had a couple good games, but I think they're at the point, where I said these good teams are really trying to say, like, listen, we have to showcase what we can do. And they have a chance to possibly have home field advantage, and every game matters. So I think the situation where, like, every game they want to assert their dominance and they want to showcase what they can do and establish that running game even more. And with all the weapons, I mean, it just scares me, man.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. And, I just rooting for the Bears because I want to take you down in this game pick thing. And also on top of that, honestly, this is probably the last gasp, even though they probably the last rights have already been written on this Chicago Bears season. I've got one more topic for you. Now, look, this might be a bigger topic that maybe we can carry over to a different pod, but I do want to get your perspective on it. And look, I want to preface it by saying I don't have a particular opinion on this. I'm not trying to lean you one way or the other. I want to get your perspective on it. And we've been talking a lot about Matt Nagy and his job and Ryan Pace and his job. And this is kind of centered a little bit more on the Bears organization. Mm-hmm. And I want you to just pretend, Corey, pretend you are a businessman, right? Like, you were a businessman, and let's just say that you own maybe not necessarily an NFL team, but let's just say maybe you own a restaurant or something like that, and you were in charge of that business. My question for you is, with the knowledge that you have, that in 7 to 10 years, you are moving to a new place. Maybe it's a new restaurant. Maybe we'll call it a new stadium. And you're doing it in 7 to 10 years, and you've got plans, and you're going to break ground, and the blueprints are up, and everyone's excited. Mm-hmm. My question for you is, how do you handle the 7 or 8 years before the first shovel goes into the ground on that particular case? Now, let's just go see. And now, look, this is a different case because some of these examples aren't exactly, these aren't exactly apples to apples where, you look at what happened with the Rams, with St. Louis before they moved to L.A. Mm-hmm. You look what happened to the Seattle Supersonics, who had Kevin Durant on their team before they moved to Oklahoma City. There were 2 or 3 years where the writing was on the wall, and these organizations existed, and they moved on to their new places, and they made their own decisions. So my question for you is, if you were in charge of, I don't know, let's just say the Chicago Bears, and you're moving to Arlington Heights in the next 7 or 8 years, how big of an incentive do you have to truly go out and try and win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years when you know for a fact in 7 or 8 years with your new stadium and it's indoors, you know for a fact 1,000% you're going to try and win that Super Bowl when you get into that new stadium, because that's what you do when you move into a new stadium. Are you the type of owner that says, hey, let's just, I don't know, we have a stable franchise. Let's just, I don't know, be 500, maybe go to the playoffs a couple of times. Or are you saying to yourself, we have Justin Fields, we need to try and win a Super Bowl now, because if we win a Super Bowl before we move to Arlington Heights, everything will just be even better, or it doesn't matter until we get into Arlington Heights. What is your take on that?
Yeah, I think the goal is in the next 3 years, because obviously, you know, there's going to be a change after the season if I'm in the ownership. In the next 3 years, I want to contend for a Super Bowl. I want to be in the NFC Championship. I want to be in the Super Bowl game. And then, like you said, by year five, I want to have a Super Bowl win. And how does that happen, right? I think it's picking the right head coach, right, that can manage all aspects of a game, you know, whether it's timeouts, special teams, offense, defense, and whether they have, you know, everything set up in place where that head coach is a actual play caller, right? An actual offensive guru, a quarterback guru. That's what I want first and foremost, because that is how you get progression. That's how you get a quarterback better in this league. Justin Fields, right? I think he's a rising star, right? But I think it comes with the right system, with the right play caller, with the right coach, with the right vision. And I think that's offensively is number one. We have to have the right head coach that calls the right system for a guy like Justin Fields, right? And hey, there is a lot of college coaches, right, that are really talented, that run very good systems, you know?
It's interesting. We've mentioned one of them who used to be in the NFL previously in this pod, and we've mentioned another one that happened to play said coach on a previous pod of you know, maybe candidates. And there's a lot of coaching carousels going on right now.
Exactly. But I think if I was in charge, that's my first and foremost, to have the best offensive minded head coach that can call plays, or if necessarily he has a coordinator that he works with that calls plays and scripts for success and is a guru. That's what I want first and foremost, you know? And then I want one of the best defensive coordinators in the game, you know, because you look at what Chicago has been since Vic Fangio has gone away, since Lovie Smith and Rod Marinelli, right? The defense took a major dip in between those transitions, both of those, right? So I think if you can have, you know, an offensive-minded coach handle that, right? And then we have a defensive coordinator that comes in that is a dog, that calls plays, that gets pressure, pressure-heavy defensive coordinator, because I think that's the missing link, right? Discipline and pressure. And I think that those are the two keys. And then obviously acquiring some free agents, you know, defensive back, I think that's a big thing. Offensively, I feel pretty good about some of their weapons in there. Obviously, probably going to be a situation where we have to move on from a guy like Allen Robinson, obviously. But I feel good about some of the young talent, you know, Mooney and company, David Montgomery, I feel good about. Obviously get another wide receiver, Cole Kmet, have him continue to progress, and hopefully he can be a guy that can stay in this franchise for a while. But I think, you know, and then getting some more talented offensive linemen, really securing up those tackle positions, you know, I think that's a key thing. You look at the teams that do really well, they have really good offensive tackles, good offensive line. So really solidifying that. And like you said, in the next 5 years, it's Super Bowl or bust, you know, in my opinion, you know, especially, you know, early on, you can't expect much in the first year, but progress and being competitive. But I think years two and three, you know, you got to be making a run, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's my hope for sure. I mean, yeah, just a couple of notes on your thoughts. Yeah, I mean, in terms of the defensive back, I think that's probably what you target in round two. I mean, obviously, you don't have a first round pick this year. I don't think you have a third one either. I think you have a second round pick. So defensive back, I think you look there. I think you can draft a wide receiver again a little bit later in the draft. Yeah. Even if there is someone new there, you can find success there. I think a guy like Michael Gallup is going to be very cheap and a really interesting person that you can go out and possibly acquire. And then in terms of offensive line, you definitely, of course, we're going to draft someone in the sixth or seventh round. But I would like us, I don't have the names in front of me, I would like to see us go out and try and find a veteran center instead of having someone grow into the job, the Hronis Cartus of the world. I would like to see us maybe get some stability there. I like Sam Mustipher and all, but I do think that we can improve that position.
Yep.
And I was just thinking about it, man, because I'm out here in LA, and you know, I'm going to these games at SoFi, and they got a brand new stadium, and you see them getting Von Miller and Odell Beckham and Matt Stafford, and you know, this is the moment when they really have that they're really going for it. But if you roll the clocks back, you know, 4 or 5 years, they were bringing back Jeff Fisher over and over again to go 7-9 and 8-8. Not a lot of breaking the bank free agency moves, and honestly, I felt like kind of twiddling their thumbs and biding their time until they can move into this new stadium. And then once they did, it was game on. And my opinion and my hope for Bears fans out there is that we have to continue to hold this organization accountable, because I think we are going to move on from coach and general manager, but we need to see some, we need to make some impact moves here, not just in the draft, because we're not going to have the capital this year, but I think in free agency, and get creative somehow, because I really do hope that, as you mentioned, going for it in that window in the next 5 years is going to be imperative. And if we're just going to shuffle our feet and we're going to let Justin Fields be the star who doesn't have enough around him, and we're the team that almost can be for the next several years while they just kind of wait and bide their time until they move into some sort of new stadium in Arlington Heights, I think that's going to be the greatest disservice that the Chicago Bears organization could ever do, more so than bringing Matt Nagy back for another year or whatever the case that is. And it's kind of getting to that point a little bit where, you know, what kind of team do we want to be the next 4 or 5 years? And are we actually going to really go for it? And that's the stuff I'm thinking about these days.
Yeah, no, I was, so when I was in New Jersey, I was listening to a radio show with Keyshawn Johnson and Chris Canty.
Yeah.
Right. And the topic came up because obviously Daniel Jones in New York, and he's been there for 3 years, really hasn't showed much. And obviously it looks like the Giants, they're going to move on from their head coach as well. And they were kind of posing the question, you know, what, it seems like Chicago is going to have a new coach as well. Which job would you prefer going into if you were a head coach and you had the choice? And you know,
how is it not us?
Exactly. Keyshawn said the Giants, and Chris Canty was like, which I agree with, is like, are you kidding me? He's like, Chicago for sure. Justin Fields, this is his first year in there. What he did in Pittsburgh, at Pittsburgh in that second half, he showcased more just in that game than Daniel Jones has in his whole career
and on top of that, real quick, Galladay's money is already on fire. No offense, but he's from an NFC North, so I get to hate on him just a little bit. That money's already on fire. Saquon, who I absolutely love, cannot stay healthy, and whoever comes in is going to have to make that decision of how many guaranteed dollars do I give to Saquon, or do I just move on from him and take the PR hit from that and start that cycle all over again? And as you mentioned, Danny Dimes, get out of here with that stuff. That's why I thought the Sean Payton fantasy could be real, because it's Justin Fields. You know what I mean? Even if Vic Fangio gets fired, you know, from the Broncos, or name any other team out there who has a quarterback with the possible potential that doesn't exist yet, but the tantalizing intrigue of Justin Fields, I can't find another team in the NFL which would make me give the edge to the Giants in that one.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. I was like, what? You know, you want the Giants position. But, yeah, Justin Fields, I mean, I think everybody around the league and fans realize that, you know, he has a lot of potential, and it's all about the head coach. I think whatever they choose going forward, the Bears, it has to be an offensive guru and not somebody that, you know, rode the coattails of Andy Reid, you know, in my opinion, because I think everyone had thought Matt Nagy was this prolific offensive coordinator in Kansas City, and he learned under Andy Reid and this, but not everything is created equal. And when you don't actually call the plays, you know, when it wasn't your show, and no disrespect to Matt Nagy, but he never called the plays. I think it was like one or two games, you know, and there were games that really didn't matter in the scheme of things. And Andy Reid, you know, he is the head coach of the Chiefs, and for a reason, you know, he's got a proven track record. He's an offensive genius everywhere he's been. He was, you know, one of the longest tenured head coaches when he was with Philly. Now he's been in Kansas City for a gang of years. So everyone knows what he can do. And he's had the track record of multiple quarterbacks, whether it was Donovan McNabb, you know, Alex Smith, when, you know, everybody tossed him to the side. Now Patrick Mahomes, one of the rising stars in the league. So, you know, we need an offensive mind like that. So search college, search, you know, form.
And just wait, are you Eric Bieniemy? Yay, nay, can't do it in Chicago. Good candidate, can't do it.
I would consider him, but I'm really intrigued with Ryan Day, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
from Ohio State, I really like that, because I think what you're seeing is this league is becoming a dual threat type of league, right? And these college coaches, I look at Cliff Kingsbury, you know, I really look at the success that he had with Kyler Murray and similar type of quarterback to Justin Fields, right? The dual threat that can run like a track star, has a cannon of an arm.
He knows him better.
Exactly. So that's Ryan Day knows what he can do. He knows how he can script for success with him. He knows his strengths. He knows his weaknesses. He knows him. So that's why I'm really leaning towards that. I don't know if that would happen. A lot of coaches like the college scene, but hey, money talks. And I think he has a proven track record, you know, when he took over for Urban and just the talent he puts out every year, how he is a recruiter. You know, I think comes down to offensive mind. And I think on my list, I think he's number one. I don't know if it can happen or not, but you know, hey, I think that'd be a good situation because nobody knows Justin Fields like he does.
Corey, man, we could do this all night, but we got a jet, man. This was the Bears-Cardinals preview for Week 13. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Joey Christopoulos at Joey Sports Guy. Corey Wooten, former Bears defensive end and Fox 32 Chicago's, doing amazing post-game stuff right after the game, Bears-Cardinals this Sunday. Make sure you guys tune in and check that out too as well. You can follow him on socials at Corey Wooten. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code BELIEV50, BLEAV50. And also Lightbox Jewelry, brand new sponsor. Happy to have them around for the rest of the season. Go to lightboxjewelry.com and check out all the wonderful deals they have going on there. Corey, man, great pod. Good to see you again. We're rested, ready to go. Who knows what happens this weekend, but we'll be back to talk about it soon. Take us home.
Yeah, man. Another great week. You know, hopefully we can shock the world this week. The Bears, that is, against Arizona. Really talented team. I know we got a lot of soldiers down this week, it's looking like. So, you know, hopefully we can shock the world, get the run game going, limit the turnovers, get after Kyler Murray and company. You know, I think we're going to need a Christmas miracle early, you know, if we want to stack some wins and make a run at this.
Because and to slay.
There's some really... Yeah, we need something. So I'm praying for a miracle on Soldier Field this weekend. Hopefully we can get it done. And, you know, either way, you know, we're going to be here breaking it down, and we always have a good time as always. So bear down and love the support, guys.
Yeah, a lot to talk about. Yeah, like and subscribe this episode. Look, Justin Fields development, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, this offensive line. Who's going to stay? Who's going to go on this defense next year? A lot to talk about, a lot to figure out with this team moving forward, because keep in mind, you know, the season might be a little twirling down the drain at this point right now, but I think the future is still very bright for this organization if they make the right moves, and maybe if they listen to Corey just a little bit more. I think that would be great. Be well, be safe. Please be good to each other. Thanks for checking out this pod. We'll be back soon. And remember, this weekend, bear down. And if I win, I'm up 2 on Corey. I'm up 2, folks.
I got to finish the season with a dub, so I'm beating you, man. I got to.
It's looking for you.